the PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
Well, hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and it is new month, December the 1st. It's Friday, and it is the Friday second round of the Hero World Challenge taking place in the Bahamas, and we're going to talk all about that. Tiger's first round in months and months and months, 300 days to be exact, since he had last played competitively, and surprised an awful lot of people, I think, with a pretty decent round in his first time back. So we're going to be talking with that. We have Bob Bupka joining us here shortly to talk about that as well, and Bob is been around Tiger since Tiger was just out of diapers, I'm pretty sure. So he knows the references of when Tiger was younger, when he was healthy, when he's not healthy, and where he stands now. So it's going to be very interesting to get his observations on that. Frank is with us, Frank Bassett from the Nashville studios. Frank, what did you think about Tiger's first round before we get to Bob real quickly? Were you impressed?
I was surprised that his swing looked really good, and he didn't have that just jerky motion and that head movement that he had going down like he had. I thought he looked good. I mean, a few chips, a couple of drives, whatever, but still, I thought he looked really good. I was impressed. I hope, today, I just keep holding my breath, because let's see what happens today and tomorrow and the next day. And if he can go pain-free and keep smiling and laughing, I think these kids are going to find out that intimidation factor may start crawling back in.
it's going to be like Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? He's back. So we'll see. Tiger shot a 3-under, 69, and Tommy Fleetwood shot the best round of the day, a 66, a 6-under 66, so he has the lead. It's an 18-man field, so it's a very limited field, and it's an unofficial event. But Tiger right now, right about in the middle of the pack with Justin Thomas, Charlie Hoffman, Francesco Molinari also at 3-under par, so a number of guys behind him that are very, very good golfers. Kevin Kisner, Matsuyama, Brooks Koepka, Patrick Reed, Daniel Berger, all shot worse than Tiger did. So we remember last few years that Tiger's coming off injuries in this event. He was finishing near the bottom of the pack, and we'll see where he does finish on Sunday. But right now, a lot of people are pretty impressed by him. And that brings us to our guest. Bob Bupka joins us, host of The Grill Room on TuneIn Radio, and joins us quite frequently. Bob, how are you doing today? Everything good?
Yeah, doing great. What an opening day at the Hero World Challenge. Still fascinating how much Tiger demands. He just puts his name in the mix. I mean, I do a lot of work out of Europe, as you guys know, and as soon as he's scheduled to tee it up, I get opportunities to go on the air and talk about him, and he certainly didn't disappoint. I'm kind of surprised with the performance of Tommy Fleetwood, because I had the feeling that he was thoroughly confused going into the opening round. I mean, he's from England, and he's getting married on Tuesday, but he's getting married in the Bahamas, and then he's going back to England. The way I always thought, people got married in England, then they go to the Bahamas.
So.
Maybe he'll stay in the Bahamas. Hey, Bob, remember when Tommy Fleetwood and his caddy did the miscue high five in the tournament months ago? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I mean,
I believe it was Mexico. Was it not Mexico?
It WBC? Might have been. Hit himself in the face.
Mexico, I think.
I mean, it's
I nicknamed him. It takes a little getting used to, guys.
I nicknamed him Fleetwood Smack. And it stuck, so he is forever Fleetwood Smack. So there you go.
And the funny thing is, a lot of people, they certainly admire the talent of Tommy Fleetwood, and they also comment quite regularly on the length of his hair. And when asked about it, Tommy Fleetwood said, "I'm going to tell you the truth, guys." He said, "As I was growing up, my father was an awfully young man, and he went bald, so I'm keeping plenty to see that doesn't happen to me." So he's a delightful young man. He's got a wealth of talent. He wants to be on the Ryder Cup team, and I think he's got a good shot, especially if he keeps playing the way he does, and certainly wish him the very best as he does get married next Tuesday.
Hey, so Bob, what was the most impressive thing about Tiger? What was the thing that maybe if you have any concerns about when you watched his round yesterday? He did play well all the way around, but certainly, and like everybody plays golf, so many more people scrutinizing him and eyes are on him. Easy for me to say. Because if he misses this shot, well, they all miss a shot here and there. That's golf. I mean, you never hit perfect shots every time. And more eyes are on Tiger. But what were you most impressed by? And if you had a concern, what would be your concern about his game right now?
Well, the thing that impressed me the most, which is a very difficult thing to, get back, especially when you have a long layoff, was his distance control. I mean, it was pretty amazing that he was able to dial in that distance control to the degree he did. His accuracy wasn't, quite up to Tiger Woods' standards. But talking to a lot of teachers, just got off the phone with a renowned teacher this morning, and I was informed once again that it's easier to get back your accuracy than it would be to get back your distance control. So I was impressed with his distance control, and the only area of concern, believe it or not, was his takeaway with his putter. Now, I've watched Tiger win all 14 of his majors. There was a different manner in which he took the putter back and didn't seem to have complete control of it as he has in the past. And as the tournament evolves, you get down to a Sunday when the pressure gets ratcheted up. I'm hoping that takeaway doesn't result in some critically missed short putts. But overall, I'm over the moon, and I think Tiger is too. Quite fascinating to see the new Tiger Woods in dealing with the media. He had smiles on his face. He was happy. He's friends with his fellow competitors now. For years, Tiger would show up at an event, get out of his car, go to the range by himself, play his round, get back in the car and leave. That was just his modus operandi. But now he's engaged with these younger players. They're thrilled to be associated with Tiger. So both parties are, gaining from the relationship, Tiger with the young guys and the young guys with Tiger.
Yeah, I think it seems like it's a bit of a different guy, and we'll see how that transforms itself if it does continue through the season when he goes into 2018 and continues playing. Your distance control comment, certainly you got to think about 14 yesterday. He was 95 yards out, hits a little wedge, and stops it a foot behind the hole for an easy birdie on 14. Was just a beautiful shot that looked like he was in prime condition from 10 years ago hitting that shot. The chips, yeah, I mean, they were tough. People talked about how this Bermuda grass, sticky, and all the things that you know about Bermuda grass, that he hit a few that he chunked and left them short from just 10 yards off the green and didn't quite get it to the green. And so we'll see today if that's something he's going to figure out differently. Frank and I were talking earlier about at some point, when do you go to the putter? And it's like, if you do that when you're young, if Jordan Spieth putts from just off the green or 10 feet off the green, nobody thinks anything of it. As a matter of fact, I believe Daniel Berger yesterday made a putt from just off one green and it was like 60 feet and it went in the hole.
He did.
I mean, so it was a great strategy. But if you're older and you start doing that, Bob, people start going, yips, right? You got to putt. Sometimes it's just the better choice.
Well, Brandel Chambly is a firm believer that nobody that he has known has ever recovered from the chipping yips. So we're putting it to the ultimate test. There's no doubt that over the last couple of years, one of the deficiencies in Tiger's game was the chips, and it reared its ugly head yesterday. Tight lies. Yes, it was wet. But I didn't see any other players having that problem. They kind of were glossing it over a little bit. But overall, Tiger had to be thrilled. And guys, I did some research prior to Tiger teeing it up. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are not familiar with the level of greatness that Tiger once was at. And I went back, I took a stretch from 1999 2001. He played 46 events. He won 23 of them. He played 8 majors during that stretch. He won 5 of them. I mean, these were things that we were getting on a regular basis, so we became accustomed to it. But it's only now that we look back, and when I say those numbers, I mean, Tim, I'm sure, and Frank also, I'm sure you guys are surprised. 23 out of 46. I mean, that's incredible.
That's huge. Yeah. That's unbelievable. Hey, Bob, question. The par fives yesterday. What do you think about that? What happened with him? I was really shocked that he underperformed.
He was one over on all the par fives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's no explanation to it. Matter of fact, what it did for me, guys, was when they said 3 under par for the round, I say on the surface, wow, that's, you know, decent round. Then you couple that with one over on the par fives, that 3 under looks a hell of a lot better. So, you know, I mean, it's going to be easy to rectify the mistakes he made on the par fives. You know, I mean, he's certainly hitting it far enough to dominate par fives. He's not quite Dustin Johnson, despite, you know, rumors that he can hit it by Dustin Johnson. DJ is still longer, but not by enough. I mean, if Tiger Woods is within 30 yards of, you know, the longest hitters on tour, he's in a great position. I mean, he had 4 back operations, 4 knee surgeries. He's going to be 42 years old, at the end of this month. And if he was only 30 yards behind the longest hitters in the game, I'd say that's pretty spectacular.
Well, this new secret weapon that he has in the bag, that 2-iron, it's his design.
Yeah.
And he was tagging that club.
Yeah.
I'd like to see some of those other boys hit that club and see what happens. Yeah.
Well, the 2-iron you're referring to, I mean, he hit it 265 into the wind.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty handsome 2-iron.
Never got 20 feet off the ground. I mean, he hit it just the way you're supposed to hit that if you're Tiger Woods. And he got to the par 5 third hole in 2 that Dustin Johnson didn't accomplish, his playing partner yesterday, and just left his eagle putt a little short, tapped in for his birdie, for his first birdie of the day. But a beautiful 2-iron from, as you said, like 260.
Yeah.
That we were used to seeing Tiger hit that. But that seems like a long time ago that we're used to seeing Tiger hit that. The distance thing, Bob, that everybody talks about, and again, we're talking with Bob Bupka, host of the Grill Room, we all get enamored with distance, and I guess that'll never change. You can go back as far as you want to go back about how far people hit golf balls, especially men, versus the LPGA Tour, where it's big but not quite as big a thing. Is Tiger too focused on that? I mean, it seems like he wants to and talks about outdriving some of these guys, ha-ha, a little bit of a joke, but I think in all those jokes there's a lot of truth, too, that he would want to stay with those guys or hit it beyond them. Is that something he needs to not focus so much on as he gets older? And certainly with a repaired back and repaired every other part of his body, the distance thing. But it's like it can't quite get out of his mind nor anybody else's mind that watches him play.
Well, the way I look at it, Tim, and I certainly hear your valid concerns. You know, I think you're alluding to the fact, you know, if he's going to start swinging hard, just to, you know, get more distance, it raises the possibility of re-injuring that back. But on the other side of that coin, Tim, is the fact that he knows that in order to dominate out there and win again, he needs that distance off the tee. I mean, there's no way that he can compete with anybody out there, if his opposition are hitting 8-irons and he has to hit a 5-iron. I mean, he will not win. I don't care how great he hits 5-irons. You know, you just can't give up 2 or 3 clubs. So I don't think it's all just a macho thing. I think it's a very revealing knowledge that you know, you better hit it far if you want to compete with the best players in the game. I mean, sure, there's your Zach Johnsons and, you know, other guys that somehow get the job done without distance. But you look at the top of the game right now and you see Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson and, you know, guys,
Justin Thomas.
Justin Thomas, right. Yeah. And all those guys are really long off the tee. That makes a shorter shot into the green. That means you can get closer to the hole. That means more birdies.
Well, nobody's been more strategic than Tiger Woods in his approach to the game and to each and every shot and golf course that he plays. With the swing he has, the ball speed that he's generating right now, I think that's an advantage over the best players in the world. Justin Thomas yesterday, and I said it on the other show, Tim and Bob, I thought you asked me, I think Tim or one of our guests asked me, what do you think is going to happen with Justin Thomas? I said, I think he's going to be a little bit in awe, even though he says he wants to go out and kick his He said that in the press conference. He said, I would hope I could or something like that. I think that he got out there yesterday, and if Justin Thomas would really say what he believes, I'm not putting words in his mouth. I don't mean to do that. But I think that he was in awe of what he saw yesterday. A guy that hasn't hit a shot in 301 days, basically in competition, coming out and doing what Tiger Woods did yesterday. One over on the par fives and shoots 300 par. It's just, it blew me away. And the quality of the shots, guys. But the ball speed was there. It was there all day. Wow. I was excited. I couldn't sit, Bob. I paced behind my couch in my den the whole time the tournament was on. It's exciting.
Well, and Bob, his career has been known as not only great shots, but really making something out of almost nothing. Great recovery shots.
Yeah.
Because we've all talked about he doesn't always hit and never has hit every fairway. And somehow he would get birdies and pars from underneath trees, from in bunkers behind a tree, and everything else that could happen. And yesterday he had a couple of shots where he's in trouble, had to take a drop on one hole, and he found the waste bunkers on the left side of the fairway, and still found a way to he made bogey, but it was a good bogey. And so that skill is not to be diminished. I think Tiger should go down in history as one of the best at that, at scrambling, that we've ever seen, because he knows he gets himself in trouble, right? I mean, he hits it a long way, and sometimes he hits it a long way left and right. But, boy, he can be spectacular getting himself out of trouble.
No, you're right about that, Tim. But if there was a red flag on Tiger's performance, it's a red flag that I'm sure most of our listeners would agree with. And that is golf is one of those crazy sports. The listeners take time off. They haven't played for a couple of months. They go back that first 18 holes. Man, they play so much better than they thought they were going to play. And then second, third, fourth time out, they're thinking, uh-oh. You know, now they try and think too much. And I think yeah. Tiger... we'll find out if that wasn't the case. He went out there. There was so much excitement that it was his first time back, and so much media attention, and so much this, so much that, that, you know, golf almost was secondary, and he played it very well. But now to go out and duplicate that performance, it remains to be seen. And he not only has to duplicate it today, he's got to do it tomorrow and Sunday and complete 72 holes and then add up his score. And we'll get a little glimpse into where Tiger's at in his recovery.
Yeah, it's also left to be seen where he goes from here. Do you think that'll change at all, Bob, as far as most guys are pretty open about the events they're going to play in and where they're going. Tiger's always been the opposite of that, and almost the week before letting everybody know where he's going to play. But we're at a different time now, and Tiger hasn't been playing. And the I'm not saying it's all a security issue, but just his self-security, his tightness around the just a few people that know his schedule. Are we going to see a different Tiger in that sense of just being more open in general, like where I might play or what's going on in his world? Or do you think that's just the, you can't change his stripes. That's just who Tiger is. No pun intended.
Yeah, no, I don't think that formula is going to change that drastically. I know he hasn't committed to anything after this week, and he's clearly stating that, you know, he'll decide after he sees how he does. I mean, that's certainly solid thinking as far as I'm concerned. If he plays relatively well this week, I think there's little doubt that he'll go to the Middle East. He'll take that $2.5 million appearance fee, the event that he went to last year, and WD'd after 18 holes, took a lot of criticism for that, and I think that's in part, why he hasn't indicated, but I pretty much suspect that he will do that, and you really can't blame him. That gives him exposure in a different part of the globe, and $2.5 million in the bank account's not too shabby.
Yeah, it's a tough one to say. If I was on crutches, I think I'd be saying, yeah, I think I can make this tournament and get over there.
Tim, no, you'd swim. You'd swim get there.
I'd swim to the desert. Yeah. By the way, I don't know if you guys have seen pictures in different papers that you're in, whether it's Houston or Nashville or wherever, but Dallas Morning News had a picture today of Tiger fist bumping, right, after he finally makes his first, and I believe it was after a par putt on number four, but it was a great recovery par putt, and he pumped his fist. Anyway, when the picture shows his linebacker-like arms as he's pumping his fist. Bob, I know you're a weightlifter yourself and a former Olympian. Tiger's pretty beefed up. Does that concern you at all, that it seems like he's still hitting the weights an awful lot?
Well, he certainly looked in ideal shape, but I think in retrospect that if we wanted an indication of where the bar is set for Tiger by himself, I would have to say that in his mind, it can't be that high if he's going to get that excited over a par putt on the fourth hole of a tournament. I mean, you know, I would think he would have reacted 10 years ago, you know, just as a matter of fact, you know, I'm supposed to make that. That's no big deal. And now let's go on to the next hole. But if he's deriving this type of excitement, like I just said, from rolling in a par putt from off the green, I think that had more to do with the fact that his chip was so poor. And had he missed the putt, then there'd be more talk about the chip. By making the putt, the poor chip, you know, was erased from the memory bank.
When's the last time, guys, that you've seen people get this excited about golf the first week of December, ever? The first week.
A year ago.
Last year?
A year ago.
That's a good point. Okay, so I set myself up for a fail there.
No, but you're right. But that's a lot. It happened again because Tiger's still moving the needle, right, in my opinion. And Tiger's still, as I said yesterday, we had Todd Lewis on from Golf Channel. And if they had 12 cameras out there, Frank, 11 of them were on Tiger. And occasionally you saw Tommy Fleetwood. And then you'd see Brooks Koepka and then Jordan Spieth. And back to Tiger. You didn't miss a step he took, a practice swing or anything else. So there's a reason for that. And this is a guy that hadn't played and won anything in years and years, but everybody's eyes were focused on Tiger.
Well, you know our relationship with the Spieth organization, the Spieth family and their foundation. I really wanted to see a Tiger Woods-Jordan Spieth pairing. And hopefully we might still get that before the week's out. I just really want to see that. I don't care about Johnson pairing. We had that. But Jordan is just, you know, one of our favorites. So.
And by the way, Tiger, so people know, there are twosomes that they're playing in this, and it's 18 players, so it's a very different kind of a golf tournament in that sense. And so they rotate their guys they're playing with. Yesterday it was Justin Thomas. Today in the fourth group, Tiger goes off with Henrik Stenson, and another guy can hit the ball a long way. So we'll see if they get mano y mano on the drives in the three woods.
And Tim, he hasn't played with Henrik Stenson, I should say, that often. Yeah. And Bob, four or five times maybe in his career he's played with Stenson.
Yeah, they really haven't come together in in an epic battle. I doubt we'll ever see a bigger battle between two players than we witnessed with Phil Mickelson and Henrik Stenson at the Open Championship. I mean, 2 years ago. I mean, it was absolutely, you know, mind-boggling, the quality of golf, the intensity of the match. Henrik Stenson, you know, has a house down at New Albany in the Bahamas. He has his wife caddying for him this week. So Henrik Stenson's really not treating this as a must-win situation. But I'm sure he'll have fun playing with Tiger. He'll try and chop him, just like every other player that plays with Tiger tries to chop. Justin Thomas literally had beaten Tiger by a stroke on that final hole, that four-foot putt that Justin hit that went about three-quarters of the way down the hole and then popped out, enabling both of them to shoot three under par. But, you know, all these guys now are going to look forward to playing with Tiger, unless Tiger comes back, then the thing they've been wishing for, oh, I wish that Tiger was back. It's that old saying, be careful what you wish for.
You got that right. Hey, by the way, Bob, are you bought some property in Albany, the Bahamas. You're starting the construction of your house next door to Justin Rose. Do you guys know how much Justin Rose paid for that property down there? It's expensive down there, boys.
He lives there like year round, right? I mean, that's
well, he's building a new home there, right down the street from Adams. But he's going to have about $50 million in this piece of property when it's finished.
Is that right?
It's expensive down there. It's expensive. Wow. I saw your boat there in the harbor, Tim. By the way,
they kept taking shots of it, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
I got a for sale sign in the window. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't afford a deck chair. Come on.
The yacht, yacht's up for sale.
I know one thing. Any of those vessels that are in that harbor are not in the immediate plans for you, Tim, or you, Frank. When you refer to them as a boat, you got to upgrade a little bit and at least call it what it is, and that's a yacht.
Yacht.
Because I wasn't sure where they put the oars. On those boats there.
Yeah, Frank, well, let's be careful with
curious.
All that.
Let me put yours in the water.
Okay, I got
it. Start rowing.
Let me tell you, those boats, those yachts, the Queen Mary that's sitting out there, whatever, those things cost more than Justin Rose's house. So those puppies that sit in the water are more expensive. I don't mean to talk more about money here, but that is a gorgeous piece of the world. Albany, it's incredible down there. It's beautiful. Ernie was there, by the way, Bob, yesterday. Did you see that? The course designer was down visiting. Of course, he lives there, too.
Yeah, he does live there, and he enjoys it there. And it's good to see Ernie, 48 years old now. He says he still has some fuel in that tank. I'm sure he's eyeballing the Champions Tour in 2 years. He'll be a PGA Tour champion. I think he'll be an asset to that circuit. Very popular.
Yeah.
I think it'll do a lot to for TV ratings and for fans coming out to the event once Ernie gets involved. Just real quick, like, guys, I want to mention a company that I've been working for, and that's Vertical Groove Golf. They make the Vertical Groove driver, but we also just received words that three woods are going to be available for Christmas.
Big news, big news.
It is big news, and you can custom order your driver or three wood simply by going to vertgolf.com, the vertgolf.com, and you'll be pleasantly surprised. And rumor has it, this hasn't been substantiated as yet, but there's a possibility that upwards of 20 players on the 50 and over circuit are going to be playing Vertical Groove next year. Of course, this past year, Kenny Perry won the United States Open using a Vertical Groove driver, and John Daly led the tour in distance using a Vertical Groove driver. So just a brief moment to pass that on.
Sure.
And we're getting ready for round two of Tiger. And, boy, wouldn't it be fun, guys, if he's anywhere near the leaderboard come Sunday? There'll be a lot of people watching the Hero World Challenge.
a ton.
Suddenly be back on the front pages for a long time. It hasn't been because of Tiger. It's built back up, and certainly the Spieths and Ricky and all those guys have done a great job. But yeah, Tiger's kind of a once in a lifetime guy, so it would be really exciting. You do notice, both of you guys, that the tournaments play a little game with their leaderboards, in that if you can get a big name, and even if he's in seventh or eighth place, suddenly the front page of that leaderboard gets a little bit bigger. And Tiger's like an eighth, so they got him at the bottom of it, but it gets on the front page. If they didn't have, if he wasn't there, they'd only need six names or whatever. And they do the same thing with Spieth and DJ. Those guys, they got to try to get him on that front page.
You got a point you're trying to make here, Tim?
Just it's ironic, that's all. Yes,
it's iconic. You know, one other thing? It's iconic.
Yeah.
Yeah. One other thing I was thinking, guys, when we look at the landscape for 2018, obviously the Masters is always exciting. I mean, it's the unofficial start to golf everywhere. Can you even imagine if we got a healthy, competitive Tiger Woods showing up in April down at Augusta and then going to the U.S. Open at iconic Shinnecock on Long Island right near where I live, and then the Carnoustie where Tiger's won before, and Ben Hogan has also won, and then the Belle Reve, one of the great golf courses in the United States for the PGA Championship. And if things are going according to plan, Tiger is not going to be an assistant captain at the Ryder Cup. He's going to be on the team, and we're going to be playing that in the shadow of the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, I mean, wow. Bob's painting his picture. Look at Bob.
No, Bob. All this Bob's is laying happen. Out his itinerary is what he's doing. That's Bob's
well,
travel
the prospects
itinerary.
For, yeah, the prospects for golf for 2018 are certainly bright. And every tournament on the PGA Tour gets a little more exciting. And then the big bottom line is that as these tournaments get more exciting, more fans come out, more money goes to charity. And, you know, that's the real beauty of added excitement into the world of golf.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I'm looking at my vertical groove driver and my vertical groove driver box that it came in right here in the studio. I can't wait to see the three wood because I love my vertical groove driver. Vertgolf.com, folks. Go check it out. It's for real. Hey, Bob, this week on the Grill Room, you talking about bifurcation or what?
We talk a little bit about that. I don't see that happening. You know,
trying to be a little silly
something,
here, but yeah.
Yeah, no.
But
you
it's
bring
true.
Up a valid yeah. question, Frank. You know, in an ideal world, in an ultimate ideal world, there'd be a tournament golf ball. You know, if you're going to see it anywhere, you're going to see it at the Masters. That they would be able. They have the clout. They have everything that it takes. When you show up to go play in the Masters, every player will be playing with an identical golf ball. We'd wait and see the results of that and how far that goes. But that would be interesting. A dialed back golf ball too, so that they're not hitting a driver and a 9-iron into the par 5 15th hole at Augusta National.
Yeah, I can't wait for Tiger at Augusta. If he's still healthy and playing well, it is going to be great. But no, now where can our listeners go listen to one of the best podcasts in golf, The Grill Room?
Well, I appreciate that. It's very simple. We can be heard each and every week. TheGrillRoom.net will get you to the show, and we have a lot of fun and try and keep it topical and. Certainly appreciate the opportunity here on Golf Talk America to talk about it, talk golf with you guys. I have to run, but hey, we got a couple of great days coming up. Three more rounds with Tiger Woods down in the Bahamas. This has been fun. Thank you so much for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay,
we
Bob.
Appreciate it, as always.
Thanks so much. Bob Bupka, host of The Grill Room on TuneIn Radio. Grillroom.com. Check it out.
Yep.
So thank you, Bob. Cool, cool.
Yep. Bob's
yeah,
best.
I've got big plans. I've got big plans today too, Frank. I'm playing golf with, my good friend Burton Gilliam.
Oh, you're playing with Burton.
Not Harrison. I'm playing with Burton.
Well, Burton Gilliam, for our listeners. Burton Gilliam was in a couple of movies. One of my favorites of all time, Blazing Saddles.
He was, he's been in a number of different movies, Honeymoon in Vegas.
Yeah.
And Burton is 70, either 78 or 79 now.
Hey, get a recording. Get Burton to say something to me. Record it, send it to me on the file so I can use it. It's okay. In South Carolina to mess with the guys.
Okay.
So in a couple of pictures, y'all, excuse me.
Wow.
Excuse me. I'm a huge fan of Burton's. He's what a great guy.
Yeah.
Brendan Sweeney and I one day called him from the course in French Lick. We're out there dancing on the course and he's singing his Camp Town Ladies song. It was hilarious.
He loves Camp Town Ladies. That's on his greatest hits album, I think. Burton might have a Christmas album coming out soon too.
Any
album he does is going to have Camp Town Ladies, so it'll be the Christmas version of Camp Town Ladies if he has it. So.
He's so hilarious.
Well, anyway, it'll be fun.
Well, cool. Where are y'all playing?
A place called Heritage Ranch. Up near him. He's kind of in area suburb north of Dallas near McKinney.
Lives in the slums, does he?
Yeah. It's going to be up around him there somewhere. Yeah. He's appeared in. And then we got to go
tons
off
of movies.
Track
tons
here, but he's been like in 70 something movies, in all. So he's done pretty well. Good friends with Burt Reynolds. He tells great Burt Reynolds stories.
Oh gosh,
back in the day with Sally Field and Burt Reynolds and all.
So that was my heart.
Entertaining.
I had a crush on Sally Field.
She was adorable.
A cutie pie.
She, I mean, still is, but even back then.
My favorite line in a movie. Do you ever take your hat off only for one thing? That was in Smokey and the Bandit, wasn't it?
Smoking the Bandit,
She looks at Burt Reynolds and says, "Do you ever take that cowboy hat off?" "Yeah, darling, only for one thing." That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Loved it. Yeah. Hey, been fun, buddy. I'm going to be in South Carolina, the first annual Santee Winter Classic. Be playing in that this next week, and I'll give you a report from there on Monday. We'll be live from the clubhouse, and it's going to be fun. I'm heading out, going to play at Rock Hill Country Club on Sunday. Great track, beautiful country club, just south of Charlotte. So gonna get a little golf in this next week and some shows Anyway, I'm gonna be out of here.
Okay.
My iPad will be streaming live the golf channel in the car, and in the cart. I mean,
yeah.
So I can watch this thing.
Mine too. We'll see what happens second round, and we'll come to you next week. We will certainly talk about and inform everybody what happens at the Hero World Challenge for everybody, but especially. LT Gray, to let you know how that comeback has finished after four rounds. First round in the books for Tiger, 69, getting ready to start the second round here today on Friday, and we're all anxious, all eyes are on him once again. Everybody, thanks so much for being with us today. We do appreciate it. Thanks to Bob Bupka for joining us, as always. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Please join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.